podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is weird. It's really bright. It is like it's really bright and sunny outside. I'm just not used to any of that. This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's the 21st of June, the longest day of the year, 2022. My name's Patrick Smith. Welcome to what is the first of our off-season podcasts. Thanks for joining us. You can get us on Facebook, YouTube, or you're watching on Twitter or wherever. Drop us a line, drop us some comments, get involved. Mr. McGimsey, it's a nice little, it's a silhouette of David McGimsey, but it's worth it because look at that view.
I can hear birdsong in the background. I've left the doors open and I can hear the birds chirping and the sun. Why waste a beautiful day? We don't get very many of them.
How are you keeping?
Is this like the last episode of last season, or is this like the first episode of next season?
You're going to get into my geekiness because of course I've got a spreadsheet of all this, don't they? And I usually count this as the last of the previous season. So this would, until the start of the season, then I'll say it'll be season 18 of Views from the Bridge. Currently, I would say this is still, but I know you love your stats, so that's perfectly fine.
Any idea how many of these we've done?
I need to update the spreadsheet, but it's hundreds upon hundreds. So we're going to the 18th year of it, mate. Mental. Joel, how you doing, mate?
I'm happy to see you, boys.
Are you in that new house yet?
No, we are still in Larne temporarily. They keep kicking it on down the road, but I'm hoping for kind of middle of August time we'll get moved. But all good for now, all good.
We have three names to put onto the Belfast Giants roster for the forthcoming 2022-2023 season. We're running a tight ship here. Sinead's been telling us, every 15 minutes we need to put it out there because we've got to go on the socials. Don't you worry, Sinead. We're on it. I've got a timer.
We're professionals.
We're absolute professionals. We're not known here at A View to the Bridge to rattle on for hours on end, but absolutely nothing. We like to get to the point and get it. So we do. We have three gentlemen joining us. Plus, we'll be hearing from the head coach, Adam Keefe, and from the captain, David Goodwin, who will be joining us later in the show. But some of the things that have went on before we bring in the first name that we've been allowed to announce, some of the things that have gone on in the last couple of days or the last couple of weeks, gents, some of the names that have come back onto the roster, and that's, we've got Ben Lake, Jeff Baum, Kieran Long, and David Goodwin, of course. Davey, a strong start to the new roster.
Always good to bring your captain back from a successful season. Gives that bit of solidity to the start of the roster. Bomber obviously had a brilliant first professional season. Longer's back. Obviously, the boys need their fresh cuts for the weekend, so that's good for him. And who else was there? Laker, of course. We all dream of a team of Ben Lakes at the end of the day. You take, 15 Ben Lakes any day of the week and a couple of goaltenders. So, good start to the building progress.
Interesting, Joel. Especially with regards to Bomber, there's a guy who's his first pro season, picks up two trophies, has an outstanding first pro season. So it's good to have a player like that back.
Yeah, like he's one that we talked about, and it was really fun to watch the story of Jeff Baum develop throughout the season. I've been doing a little bit of work just with the org in terms of like the press releases and the stuff going out. And the one thing that I had to get into Bomber's story was obviously that time spent playing kind of on the same sheet as Mark Garside, sitting beside Mark Garside on the bench. And I really do think that the experience of playing alongside that veteran defender and someone who knows our league inside out really helped to round Jeff Baum's game out. And we made so many parallels too. We talked about how Bomber sort of revels in the thankless aspects of the game and does so many great things quietly, his positional awareness and how he takes guys out of the play. I think Mark Garside has a lot to blame, I guess, for Bomber's kind of success last year. I'm so glad he's back. He's a great He's a great kid. He's a great character, I think, to have around as well. I think the boys like being around him. And I also love his dad. I'm glad that we have... we should have done a separate signing for Jeff Baum's dad, Jeff Baum. I mean, that's the extra import that we all need.
Obviously, in the last couple of days, we've learned the fact that JJ Pickenich is going to Norway. And we've got... last 24 hours that Jordan Boucher Davy has gone to Quebec.
I guess that's one step towards the real world after hockey. I believe there's possibly, you know, work on the side there for him. Of course, we would have loved to have seen Bush back in Teal again. He had a great season here. He was that speed king agitator. He had a little bit of everything. He knew where the back of net was at times, and he was light around the locker room. He was a good lad to have in there, and obviously another one that, you know, came away with a lot of success last season. I felt for Bush, especially being injured towards that sort of last match of the season, he might have felt there was a wee bit of unfinished business for him, but obviously offers, it's a short career, and offers come and go, and he's taken one back in soon Quebec, which will suit the suit him better. LNAH, was it, Joel? See you nodding there.
It's one that surprised me, to be honest. You know, like I thought we were all going into this summer, you know, because the team was so successful. Normally your problem is retaining players because they get much better offers from around Europe or whenever else. And whenever I saw that he was going back to the LNAH, which, let's be honest, boys, it's not exactly known for its skill level. You know, it's a league that's historically very tough. It's a lot of enforcers and a lot of kind of physicality. And it must be, you know, it's closer to home. He's back in kind of Quebec, and he must be kind of on his way out, which is a shame, because I think there's plenty in the tank left for Bush, like, if he wanted to. But he's a talented guy, he's a great character, and no doubt whatever he puts his hand to, he'll do well. But would have loved to have kept Bush for another year. But as Paddy says, I think we've started off with an absolutely brilliant core of successful players from last year.
It's the transient nature of the league, isn't it? It's the fact that, you know, we can have championship winning teams, we can have championship winning players. But and you can get really attached to these players, especially when they're as successful as the likes of JJ Pickenich is. You know, you want to see a player of Pickenich's standard playing in the elite league, be it for, you know, mostly for ourselves, of course. But when you see these players move on to better things or making life decisions, it's sometimes because we're so focused on things like, you know, football, and you see players play for your football team for years and years and years, that when somebody comes in for just a season, like JJ did, Davey, and is gone within that time, having lifted two trophies, you think to yourself, well, you know, why couldn't we hold on to him?
I'm happy to see these guys move on to different leagues. I would have been pretty, you know, annoyed if I'd seen these guys turn up somewhere within the league. So Norway, I think you said, for a pick, back to Quebec for Bush. So, you know, you wish them well. They came here, this great servants to the club for the year they were here, won a lot of stuff, just didn't quite get across the line in the playoff final, unfortunately, for us. One thing or another just caught up with us towards the end of the season. But, you know, great season looking back when we haven't really analysed the season that much looking back yet. They haven't taken any time, just taken time off from hockey, really. And when you look back, it was a great season, yeah. Did we get the Grand Slam? No, we didn't, and that's going to be a disappointment. But that's going to be a disappointment for a lot of those guys in that locker room too, because we came so close. And, you know, those guys move on to the new careers now, and you never say never to the likes of Pick coming back. I think Bush is probably going back across the water. He'll never be back in Belfast again. But whenever you see the likes of Pick taking a chance in Europe, you never know. Never say never to him having a swan song in Belfast.
Before we go on to one thing, and then we go on to our first name, Kieran Long, congratulations to him. Got married to Hannah in the last couple of weeks, and fantastic that is. But longer, Joel, of a player of that standard, you know, a British player coming in is key.
Yeah, you know, we've talked at length about sort of how the Brit pool at EIHL level is quite dry. And one thing that a successful team has to do early is nail down their Brit core. You need to have that quality that can come in and not just make up numbers, but actually contribute. You know, Kieran Long is a player that can play both ways. He has an offensive streak. He's also extremely tough. One thing that surprised me about Longer over the last couple of years is just his toughness as well. He's kind of got a little bit of Ben Lake in him as well. You know, that willingness to stick up for the boys whenever required. But look, Longer, I think, is just a great influence again around the team and around the club. He's someone that I've become very used to having in Belfast, and I'm glad we got him re-signed. And obviously, as Davey often talks about as well, you know, marrying a local girl and kind of putting down roots here, the women of Belfast are the best recruiters for the Belfast Giants. Is that the quote, Davey?
Poured it down to be fair this time, but
yeah, close enough. Yeah, I ran into Hannah in Belfast just kind of shortly after, and I was able to kind of say congratulations. But yeah, it looked fantastic. I'm buzzing for longer. He does seem to really kind of enjoy kind of making this place his home, and I hope we keep him for as long as possible.
And also just a quick congratulations to our friend Omar Pasha, who also got married.
Yeah, I saw that. Brilliant.
Is he still a friend, Davey?
Former friend of the show.
Former friend of the show. That's a hard one.
We'll have to take it into consideration given his new position.
It'll depend on results, that one. That'll depend on results.
You can come on and defend it.
We have 5 minutes before we give you that first name that we have to share with you on the Belfast Giants roster. And before we get to that, the announcement came that on the 25th and the 26th of November, the Friendship Four is back. And we have UMass Lowell. Big shout out to David McCammond. UMass Lowell Riverhawks, who won the first ever Friendship Four, they're come back. Quinnipiac Bobcats, they're coming back. And UMass, who played in 2016, they're coming back. They'll be joined by the Dartmouth Big Green, who are playing for the first time in the Friendship Four. Joel, I can't understate my excitement to the fact that the Friendship Four is back.
I love it, Paddy. It's the best. I can't wait to get in among it again this year and hopefully kind of help out with media and whatever else. It's such a buzz. It's just fantastic. You know, the fact that there are NCAA D1 regular season games that happen outside of North America is rare enough in any of the NCAA kind of top tier disciplines. But to have hockey in Belfast, and you know, we have seen over and over again stars of the future come through the SSE Arena and play this high tempo, energetic, youthful hockey. And not only that, but look what it's done to not only the Belfast Giants recruitment methods, but also I think the ethos around recruitment in our league. I think that our league has more and more over the past few years looked towards U Sports and looked towards the NCAA to find these young, energetic guys straight out of college. And I think it's changed the nature of the game here. And I think it's changed the makeup of squads here. I think it's made hockey more exciting. You're seeing these guys coming out and turning pro first year. And I absolutely love it. I've said it a million times. I would much rather, with respect to those who have come before, I'd much rather have a young and hungry guy who wants championships than maybe a veteran NHLer who's just coming here to pick up a paycheck and maybe go to school. It's my favorite type of player. I'm so stoked for the Friendship Four.
I think that's it as well, Davey. You know, we spoke just a few minutes ago about Jeff Baum. There's a product of that system. You know, we've seen Darcy Murphy, another product of that system in regards to the Belfast Giants coming through. You know, as much as it is great to have that spectacle, and the spectacle of Friendship Four is like nothing else on these islands, but as much as that, for the Belfast Giants, it can get us a first-year pro player like Jeff Baum, who helps us pick up two championships.
It's I don't think any of this happened by accident for the Belfast Giants. I remember, very fortunate, it must have been 2015, something like that, getting a phone call from Robert Fitzpatrick. I was watching the Ryder Cup, first morning of the Ryder Cup, up in Heaney's house, bit of poker, breakfast, all that we used to do on the first morning. Can you get yourself to the Odyssey? SSE. I think it was Billy Odyssey. Can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What do you need? The mayor of Boston's here. We need you to interview him. It's like, what? So down there, Stephen Murphy lent me his tracksuit top, interviewed the mayor of Boston. The mayor of Boston says, we're bringing a bell pot to Belfast. And it's like, he didn't say it like that, actually.
I thought he was American.
But he was bringing the bean pot to Belfast, and that's what went back to Boston, you know, and you can't take our bean pot, and hence the bell pot was born after that.
Just
the whole history. The history of the trophy and the history of that competition as it's been proper games played outside North America for the first time year on year now, and you've got teams coming back, and the carrot that dangles when they get here and they see what the arena's like and what they get to go around the city and they learn a bit about the city, and it gets their claws into a few people, and then when their agents are talking 3 or 4 years, maybe even less than that down the line, here's an option for you in Europe. And if we can get you like a JJ Pickens, so obviously not through the NCAA route, but if you come here at Darcy Murphy and you come and you score 30, 40, 50 goals, we'll get you a job in Germany. We'll get you a job in Slovakia, wherever. We will help you to the next stage of your career. If it's not going to be in North America, let it be in Europe, and we'll be here to do that for you. And, you know, so Robert and his boot room and his NCAA stuff, and you know, the work that was Thorst and Johnny and all that, the work that went on in the background to make this a thing that happens now every year and is a massive recruitment tool. Because when we go there, Belfast, first stop in the Elite League for these guys. It's not anywhere else. This is first stop for them. So, you know, long may that continue, and looking forward to Thanksgiving weekend. Hopefully be home for it.
Absolutely. That's if you go to friendship4.com for more information, tickets and the likes. It's the 25th and the 26th of November 2022 at the SSC Arena. Dartmouth Big Green, UMass Lowell, Riverhawks, Quinnipiac Bobcats, and UMass all here for that. Right. Some people are looking at their watches and saying it's a quarter past. So yes, it's time for that first name that we're going to announce on the Belfast Giants roster for the 2022-2023 season. Davey, any stats of the man we were just
looking at? I was looking at my phone there. Sorry.
That's off-season for everybody.
Professionalism you get here on A View to the Bridge
that's
and nowhere else.
Signing number one. He's played 906 minutes between the pipes. There's a bit of a clue for you. Like, it's his 12th season, but the stat that's most important for this guy is 100% legend.
Hi, Dicko.
Yes, we did. What's the crack?
Welcome back, Andrew Dixon. How you doing, mate?
Not bad. I love the way he's went from talking about young prospects to the oldest guy on the team last year, but sure. Good transition there, boys.
Sorry, come a little bit closer to the camera.
No.
Come on.
Oh, is there a bit of a rascal going on?
Yes, let's go.
I've got a wee bit of going to until I catch you, Joel, but I'll get there.
Mate, that's stunning. That's
What's the ethos behind that?
I don't know, a while ago. I was at a wedding and I grew it in. So it's kind of grown back to a beard, but it looked all right at the time, I thought. It's a little ginger, actually. So I don't know. It's not too bad. They're all in right now.
Take with a man who has no hair whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with that.
You look like a
family. I'm catching that as well.
Mate, it happens to the best of us, what can I say? Diggle, back for another season with the Belfast Giants. Personally, delighted to see it. You know, what are your thoughts? What's the decision behind another season?
Well, I mean, it's very hard to not want to play another season. I think most guys, if they're honest with you, they always do. Whether it's, you know, work commitments or, you know, just, you know, life getting in the way. You know, most people want to play as long as they can. I'm fortunate enough that I live here, obviously. So, you know, the team being here is very handy for me. I wasn't sure if I was going to play another year. I spoke to Kiefer and Mace during last season, and they were pretty keen to have me back. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm old yet. Maybe I am, but no, I'm very delighted to be back. And no, I think it'll go well.
We talk all the time, Dicko, about what you bring. I guess more during the week, perhaps, than at weekends at this stage of your career. You know, taking a lot of shots after practice, allowing guys. And I think it was maybe Coops or someone last year was talking about being a bit stuck in a bit of a funk, and you know, worked out with him after. It might have been Coops, can't remember. You know, worked out with him after training all the time. And those little intangibles that you give these guys that, you know, West wants to get off, Besco wanted to get off, and you can stay and do that. You know, it's that you feel that you're happy and comfortable with that role now.
Yeah, I know my role. It's been my role now for probably like 4 years. You know, we've been very lucky that we haven't had any injuries. Obviously, we know we had COVID and stuff last year where a couple of guys missed, or Besco hurt his ankle that time and I was able to back up. And you know, the other good thing about it is if I back up, you know, we can play another import. So there's a little bit of advantage there, like most teams do in the league. We didn't carry any imports last year, so it was kind of null and void. But yeah, I'd say the main thing is that whole, you know, practice thing. Really, you're just a body. I'm there to take the ugly shots, the things up around your neck, the shootouts, all the stuff that, you know, the starting goalies don't want. Because the starting goalies just want to track the puck and feel the puck. And then I'm there to take the shots that, you know, like the one-timers and things like that there. So I don't always do it, but he's given me far too much credit. But I don't mind that role because I feel like that's the only way, you know, if I'm not playing, I can't help the team. So, no, I understand what I'm doing and I'm very glad to still be doing it.
I think you say, sorry, just give me a second. You say we give you far too much credit, Diggle, but you just have to look at some of the comments coming in that are going across the bottom of the screen. So many people delighted by this, by you coming back for another season. Actually, on that point, if you've got any questions you want to throw to Diggle over the next 15 minutes, put them up and we'll have a look at them.
Dave, you've got a follow-up. Sorry, mate, go ahead.
No, it was just kind of what Paddy was saying there. Diggle's being very self-effacing there, said, you know, we give him far too much credit. I think we always talk about those little the inches to get over the line, and you know, being that role player, taking those extra shots. Coops, you know, go back to that again. You know, it was so important for him, and that got him going. I think he might have had a hat-trick that weekend. Whoever it was scored a hat-trick that weekend that you'd been working on it with him. So those little margins that get us that extra point over a season or an extra half a point, you know, are absolutely critical to go on the distance. So, you know, you say we give you too much credit, I would say it's the opposite way around.
Well, thank you very much. And I know that's, you know, Coops, you know, that's not on me. That was Coops deciding that he wants to go out there and do the extra stuff himself. A lot of players, maybe when they're not feeling it, or they're, you know, hockey is, when you're not playing well, isn't that fun? Instead of saying, right, that's enough for that, I'm getting off the ice. You know, it's the other side of it. It's, no, I'm going to stay on the ice. I'm going to work through it. And then, I mean, even stuff like with Conway last year, me and him sort of got, I sit beside him in the Odyssey, we decided that we'd have a shootout at the end of every practice, basically for bragging rights, you know, get on top of each other. And he puts a little bit of pressure on it, you know, he has to score. And, well, you know, it kind of helped. You see how he done in shootouts last year, a couple of big ones in the end. So, no, I enjoy it. And I like the banter around the dressing room and things got there. So, no, it's good.
Deco, somebody else that sort of joined the Belfast Giants around the same era as whenever you come in, and you know, whenever you're in the conversation of longest tenured Belfast Giants, obviously this season we have bid farewell, but not goodbye, to Jeff Mason, who has gone over to Dundee. Just wondering your thoughts on that. That's someone you've obviously seen every day when you come to the rink and when you come to the arena for quite a long time now, bar one short spell in Norway. I didn't like that, he came back. What are your thoughts on Mason making the move to the head coaching role in Dundee?
Well, last year, you know, I'd be up in the commentary box, and Robert would often be in the box beside it, and I'd talk to him before games and just usual stuff. And I was talking to him one time, and I was singing Mason's praise. I think he's going to be a fantastic coach. I think learning under Kiefer for the last couple of years has done him a world of good. But he's not shy. He's seen it as a player, how smart he was, you know, both ways up and down the ice. Dedicated, and you know, even now he hasn't been playing in a while, I don't know how long, 4 years, and he's still in great shape. So, you know, he's got all the tools. He's going to be a fantastic addition to Dundee. I wish him all the best, but not against us.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
he didn't offer any sort of contract. No.
Don't you dare! Don't you dare!
I had a couple of offers in Scotland this year, believe it or not, out of nowhere. I've had the very odd offer in the 11, 12 years, and I got two this year, and even one in the league below for a goalie job as well. So I don't know what I done last year, but at 34, the offers are starting to come in. So who knows next year?
You beat the Steelers in overtime, mate. That's what you did.
Yeah, but I also gave up a really soft goal in the last time. In fairness, somebody put that in the empty net, man. What are you passing for? You know. So.
But I'm going to go to some of the questions that are popping up here in just a second. But just you saying that just put something in my head. What are your thoughts on somebody like Jordan McLaughlin, who obviously, you know, at the Glasgow Clan put out a statement saying he doesn't think he's getting the chances that he wants to get, you know, to get that first team place or that sort of initial selection. So he's dropped down to Sheffield Steelers technically, but Hull more predominantly. So he's, you know, Hull will have him, and then Sheffield will call him through. Is that for goalkeepers? Is that just something that has to happen?
Well, let's just get into it. It was Glasgow were one of the teams, and Hull were another one of the teams who talked to me this year. No, don't get me wrong. We didn't get deep into money or anything. Got there because I'd already sort of, you know, made my mind up that I wanted to stay here, and I spoke to Kiefer and things. I got there, and he sort of gave me his thoughts on, you know, probably more as a friend than a coach, of what a hockey player at my age, you know, should be doing. So, but for Jordan, you know, he's a decent goalie. I mean, he's still young. And if he can go down to Hull and play, which he's going to, he's gonna do well. They're going to have a good setup. I think they're going to be a contending team. I think they're signing two goalies, backups from the EI. Do you know who the other one was? Well, I can't remember.
There was definitely another one, wasn't Curtis Warburton.
Oh, Warburton, yeah, that's who it is, from Sheffield. Yeah, so yep. Basically, that'll be good for him as well, because that's a bit of competition. I played for the Irish national team this year, and it's the first time in probably 10 years where I've been like the go-to guy in net, and I loved it. It was brilliant. Loved it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved it. It's been a long time since I've felt like the best word. Like, if when I play for the Giants look after me, and I do my bit at the back, but I was really helping the team for Ireland that time, and I absolutely loved it. So I kind of forget how nice it is to be the go-to guy. Whenever you win a game from start to finish, there's a different feeling than whenever you come in and play 10 minutes and mop up around the cat there. So it was fantastic. I can understand 100% why these guys want to go down and play. And if he's going to get better, he has to go down and play. And if he doesn't think he's going to get that chance in Brayhead, then, you know, fair play to him. I don't blame him at all. I mean, there's no shame in being an elite league backup either. But the one thing I will say is it's not a development league. You know, you're here to play and you're here to win. These teams are making money. Those Scottish teams, you know, don't have much room for error. Maybe, you know, Sheffield and all have a little bit more room for error with a player where they can sign another one. But no, fair play to him. And I think we're going to see maybe two or three goalies going down to that league below, because the money's starting to get good. And you know, we've seen it before when it was the EPL. The EPL, you know, sort of priced themselves into a point where they ended up folding. Hopefully it doesn't get to that. But no, the money seems to be good down in that bottom league or second league, and the standard's not bad either. And another thing I'll tell you is whenever I played down there, you train Tuesday night, Thursday night, maybe one game at home, one game away, within driving distance. You're back in your own bed and you're in work Monday morning. So you can work on the side as well, and maybe pick up £400 to £500 a week as well. So it's a very attractive offer for them.
Going to a question from Mal Cars.
Hi, Mal. I know Mal. I know him really well.
Dick, are you coming to my wedding? The invite's in the post.
I don't. It's not a chance. What a chance you've my address. That's a straight up lie.
you just write Ballymoney on an envelope.
Yeah, Andrew Dixon. Ballymoney.
Five houses and two pubs. So I will definitely come to your wedding, Mal. And that'll be good. I'll look forward to that.
Don't worry, Mal. We're the rest of us are busy that night, anyways.
Yeah, don't. Looks like Dick was the only one invited. Like,
well, I mean, I'll have a plus one, so you know, you can fight who wants to be my date.
Davey's in there.
It's my gym.
Back to you, Davey.
Makes sense.
Who's up here,
Davey?
Oh, we're continuing with this. I thought
we've got 3 minutes.
I can see the cast growing in the background here in the studio behind us. But Dicko, what's a few targets for yourself then for the upcoming season off the back of what the successful season we've just had?
Listen, it's just about, you know, it's hard to improve on last year. What were we, a couple of goals away from winning it all? So let's just, it's hard to define what a successful season is. As long as, you know, everyone gets out and the recruitment's good, I think we'll have another successful season. Obviously, we want to challenge for all those trophies. And a little secret one is I want to do well in the CHL, just to make a little bit of a mark. And it's funny, it's written in the stars. One of my bucket lists in hockey, they're pretty much all done. And one of them was to go to that Davos Arena. Have you ever seen it? It is unbelievable. If I would highly encourage anyone, if they can, to go. I know maybe the scheduling is going to throw it wherever way it goes, but it's where the Spengler Cup's played every year, and it's fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I'd like us to do well in the CHL, just to like leave our mark in Europe, you know.
Can I cram one more in, Paddy? Or are we in trouble?
You've got a minute. A minute. We're on a schedule here, mate. We're on a schedule.
Took a quick look at that Team Ireland team from you were out in Germany for the Development Cup, wasn't it? Alongside Chris Devine, another good young local goalie. But I noticed one of your defensemen was none other than Vitas Lukasevičius. So how does it feel to have a defenseman that you spend most of the season looking at as an EIHL lino?
You know what? I've known him years and years ago. I played in the Irish League, so I knew him back then, like just a little bit. So even whenever I'd be on the bench and he would skate by, he would say hello. But it was good. He plays D, and I was giving him a lot of grief, like sometimes. But also, we snuck out a couple of nights for a beer when we weren't supposed to as well. So Excellent. I was also like, I was also, you know, bartering him up for next year as well. We'll get those marginal calls.
Chuck a few in for us, big man.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Diggo, it's good to have you back. Good to have you back on the View for the Bridge. Good to see you back on the Belfast Giants roster. We look forward to speaking to you again when the season kicks off, and hopefully we get to see you on the ice again.
No, thank you very much, boys.
Good to see you, mate.
And that's the first name is Andrew Dixon.
What a start that is.
Absolutely. And that's, so where are we going to go now, Davey?
Oh, I'm excited about this one, lads. 612 games for the Belfast Giants so far. Second all time. What have we got? 56 goals, 160 assists. Good for all the twos. 222 points. One famous fight in Major where he beat the wheels of, what do you call him?
David Ling.
David Ling. Five power play goals, two shorthanded goals, one best-selling album. He's...
Welcome back, Mr. There Mark Darside.
There he is.
Oh, how you doing?
How you doing? You have a wee sneaky, you have a sneaky wee glass of wine there? Did I see you have a sneaky wee glass of wine?
Yeah, it's summertime, isn't it?
Why not? Why not? Welcome back, guys. The notes that I've got in front of me, they said you've won a staggering 10 trophies for the Belfast Giants. How were those last two for you? That's what this says.
That's a David Jeff. Confirm.
I'd love to do this, but it sounds legit.
How were those last two?
The first one was made of wood, though, so I don't know if that counts. But the last two did feel great, obviously. The Challenge Cup, I was telling the boys, that was probably the best game I've played in for the Giants at the Odyssey. I know I used to always say that the game we won the league the first time around when I was, the first time we won the league when I was playing, was a really good game, but that game in the Challenge Cup final was electric. Like the atmosphere in the third period was something that I've never seen in the Odyssey like before, or the SSE, sorry.
You're the second one to do that tonight, I'm sure.
It's off season for everybody, P. we're all a little rusty. It's all right.
I'm pretty sure the CEO of the SSE is not listening, so it's all right.
But it's the 12th season since you were brought over from the Edinburgh Capitals. You didn't think you'd be here this long, did you?
I don't think so, but when you're that young, you're just kind of like, you're just taking life sort of each season is just year by year and see what happens. And then all of a sudden, 12 years later, you've been here a long time, you know, as the years went by, it became more and more attractive to stay. Like I never really negotiated with that many other teams in my time. And especially nowadays, it's just more about like, I'm not going to leave now. I'm just trying to stay in good enough shape to keep playing hockey as long as I can, you know.
And Kiefer's just making notes there for salary. Doesn't want to go anywhere. That's fine. But in terms
we're
of
not,
like,
we're not competing with other hockey teams. He's just competing with the actual jobs market, you know, like
football, real life.
We'll maybe get that album sometime, Gary.
About. I told you last year it'd be like 10 years, so, you know, we've still got another 8 years to go.
In terms of, we were talking about Bush earlier on before you came on, and, you know, with him missing out on the playoff final, and we weren't sure whether he was coming back. He's obviously moved on to Quebec again there. We thought maybe a bit of unfinished business for him, but will any of the boys that were here last season have that sense of unfinished business, or is it just lying in the sand, drawing, let's go for everything again?
I think there's a probably a little bit. I think the one thing that annoyed us as a team was that Cardiff was the only team that actually they won more games than us, like against each other, you know. So I think, I mean, I found that annoying. I know Kiefer probably that will grate on him. So a lot of guys come back are, you know, they're up for it. You know, I was at Kieran Long's wedding a few weeks ago and like speaking to Laker and Goody. We're all up for coming back and, you know, doing it all again, going for the league, going for Challenge Cup, going for playoffs this time. Hopefully it works out where we're just as good and we can go for it again.
Did any of the more North American guys coming in find the challenge of having to be up for games in September and October in the league, with those games being as critical as the ones in, as we say it all the time, you know, they're as critical in September here as they are in March and April. Did any of them find that a grind, or do they all take that, like, you know?
I'm not sure they really fit. It's probably more of a bit of a shock to the system. Coming in September, then you need to be in full swing and full form, ready to go. I mean, it probably took a few players, maybe a couple of months, to find the best, their best game. And that's a lot of that's just being new to the league, and it's like, whoa, we're in it from day one type thing. But like Kiefer and the leadership group and the, you know, assistant coaches, it's something that we talk about at the start of the season. You know, you need to be ready to go day one, you know, giving it your best. And there's not really any excuses. As soon as we hit the ice in September, we have to perform to a high level.
How much of a kind of moratorium, how much looking back do you do on a season after it's all said and done and you're back home from the playoffs and you're sitting having your glass of wine or whatever in June? You know, do you look back at those early season games against Cardiff in Cardiff, where we actually, in my opinion, well outperformed them and came away with two losses, that playoff final loss to them? You know, as you say, we lost the series against them over the course of the season. Is that something that will eat at you until you get a chance to get back on the ice against them?
I'm not sure, like, saying it would eat at me would be the right thing. Like, I kind of forgot about those the games in September, because we went on to win the league and they ended up meaning nothing. Had we have not won the league, I think that would have been a bit of an issue. Like, would have been something that we'd have looked at. Like, we outplayed them in those two games and we came away with nothing. The playoff final, we knew exactly what Cardiff were like. You know, they were going to soak up a lot of pressure, and they've got some good forwards, and it just so happened that the first couple of shots or the first real chances that they got, they scored on them, you know, and from then on, we're sort of chasing the game. That's just how it worked out. It was a one-game final. So that you can't really hang yourself up too much on the playoffs, I think, it just being one game. But certainly in the league, I would say the game that I remember most through the season was the 7-1 game in Sheffield, and I think that played on a lot of guys' mind going in the second time when we won those two games to win the league. I think that really spurred us on and kind of helped motivate us that we played so poorly the first time around, you know, and wanted to rectify it.
Gary, what does summer look like for you now? I mean, we barely ever mention it on this show that you're now, you know, the oldest Belfast Giant, the veteran player. You've been around since...
I'm not, mate.
That's fair. You're almost the oldest Belfast Giant. At this stage in your career, you know, you get that summer downtime. Obviously, the season is coming in hot this year with the CHL, and that's going to be at an extremely high level. You have to imagine, obviously, camp will start early. You'll hopefully get a friendly or two underway before that. Do you take the time to rest the body? You know, when do you start to say to yourself, right, it's time to put the boots on again?
Well, just right after the season is generally... I give myself a good few weeks just to do nothing, just rest. And then obviously I've had a few injuries in the past, which I need to work on at the gym. So I get back into the gym after that and start, you know, working on that kind of stuff from, you know, mid-May. I'm doing that kind of thing. You know, you kind of have to switch off as well. You know, we're going on holiday for a couple of weeks next week when boys are off school. So it is just about, I think at my age as well, it's kind of dealing with the things that, you're doing what your body tells you to do. Like I don't play GB anymore. I don't really put myself in the frame because I know I've had a lot of injuries and I need to have rest and work on them and get ready for next season again, you know. And as far as going back, once I get back from holiday, we'll probably start getting on the ice again, even if it's just with, you know, whoever, and then start preparing for pre-season training.
Are you enjoying plenty of time at home with the boys?
Oh yeah. Most of that. I'm a very sad story to tell. Like, I'm in like kind of a front room right now, and I have a room upstairs which we're currently turning into a baby room because my wife's pregnant. She's due in September, so
indeed,
my guitars all had to be
a
couple of weeks ago, and they're just like in different places around the house right now. And,
I heard that they have more baby love guitars.
I've just left all my equipment out, and just my wife just gets annoyed at me. I was like, ah, it's just. Because if I put it all away, I'm just not going to play it. So I just leave it all. It's a nice mess in here right now.
How's Becky doing? Are you all, I guess preparations are well underway then for Baba number three?
Let me see what you've been doing this summer. I'll be doing a bit of painting, decorating. When I say a bit, I mean a lot.
Yeah,
I have a few glasses of wine when I'm painting, so I'll make a few mistakes, you know. a lot of painting and decorating and things like that, getting the house ready because, you know, Becky wants a nice clean house for when the baby comes.
I feel like I'm just catching up with Gary at this point, boys. Sorry, feel free to interject. I miss you, pal. David?
Oh, no. So I suppose if I'm looking at my stat sheet here, touch wood and all that, there are two Scotsmen at the very top of the Belfast Giants all-time leading scorers or leading appearance match, 1,250 games between you. And that's quite something for two young lads that came over to the Belfast from East Kilbride.
It's funny because people always ask me, like, as if I'm from far away, like, you know, you stay here. And I'm like, well, East Kilbride's only 100 miles away. It's not that far. Yeah.
I'm alarmed, man. I can see it. I can see it on a clear day.
It's not far away. So, you know, nowadays, this just feels like home. You know, I feel like there's quite a lot of similarities between the people, like, from Northern Ireland and from Scotland, like, pretty similar mentality and things like that. So it's an easy fit for me, really.
The return of Jeff Baum has been announced, Gary, and someone that you obviously play alongside. And for my money anyway, I think Jeff Baum is a more developed and more honed player for having that season alongside you. Are you excited to see Baumer back in the room?
Absolutely. No, I got on really well with Baumer. He's a great guy to have in the room. And it's like you said, he came in. I just don't think he wasn't really used to the way Kiefer wanted us to play at the start, and then when he got it, we saw like massive improvement. He was really good for, you know, long stretches of the season. He was probably one of our most consistent performers, probably.
How do you feel about the guys that then move along? You know, you have such an incredible season. It's so intense in the IHL season. You're in the trenches with those boys week in and week out, and then suddenly they're just kind of gone from your life again. Are you used to that at this point? You know, guys like Pick moving on, Bush moving on. I think the Griffin Reinhardt has said that he's hanging him up. Possibly Cam Knight as well. I'm not sure. I think he announced. Yeah. How does it feel to kind of lose those guys that you sort of spend nearly every waking moment with throughout the winter?
It's kind of sad at the end, you know. Like, a lot of these boys come over here to play their sort of last years in hockey. A lot of them will come and do their NBA and things like that, and move on after. But it is just part of it. Now that I've been playing this long, I kind of just used to it, really. Obviously, some guys will move on to Europe to kind of try and better their career and things like that. Like, in the instance of Pick, you know, going to a country that calls ice hockey is probably a good move. So, yeah, you know, it happens every year. Guys move on. It's just part and parcel of being in the Elite League.
Yeah, it's tough though. And finally, for me, I could just roll on like this for the evening. I'm all good. I mean, I think Paddy's hard at work. He's been on mute there for about 20 minutes. I think he's forgotten he's actually live on the internet. But the last one for me, you have to go out of your way, and Davey knows this all too well as number one fan, but you have to go out of your way to catch the Mark Garside Band these days. Is it true that there was a live performance in recent weeks for a very select audience?
There was, yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know, you dust off the guitar for longer.
The longer wedding, I played the first dance, so I did. So,
what was the song?
Bless the Broken Road by the Rascal Flatts, which I'd never heard before, but it was a nice wee song to play, so it was good.
Beautiful.
He paid me in wine as well, which was nice.
Hi, Paddy.
Hello. I've been doing something frantically for the last 10 minutes. Been in conversation with...
It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, in conversation with Mr. Neil Whiteside, who sent me a WhatsApp just as Gary came on. And I'm going to see if I can make this work. Let's hit this. Where's my downloads? It's definitely going to be worth it. Fingers crossed, everybody.
One of the greatest moments of all time.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's there. There it is.
It's the slow-mo of the
gloves. It's the shake of the gloves.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has bolstered a lot of Neil's videos
Fed him his dinner as well. Fed him his dinner. Nice. Oh, get some.
Right over the top. Right over the top.
Yeah. Just give him the helmet. Put him here. We're all over. Just get the shoulder.
That was it. That was the shoulder. That was the playoffs over. Look, he doesn't lay mid on you. Doesn't lay mid on you. So much for a tough guy. Yeah. Well done, Gary.
Barely touched him. Barely touched him.
That's your only fight, Major?
No, I had another one against Nottingham as well, actually, when I played for Edinburgh.
So we don't count that, really. So.
No video evidence. It was in black.
Video evidence. Well, at least none for...
black and white, there's no internet in Edinburgh's rink, so...
I honestly think you should be getting like some sort of royalties off Neil Whiteside for every time he uses that, you know, the shake of the gloves.
There is no montage.
It comes up so many times.
I want to see it again.
He put a good video together today of my re-signing. He managed to clip my one goal into four different clips. Or my season highlights, everything like that. It was well done, you know, like, not a lot to work with, but he done a good job.
Made it look like Hunters, man.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. Well, Gary, it's really good to see you back. Really good to have you back in the team. We look forward to another great season, another season in the CHL. Have a great summer, mate.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Good to see you all again.
Gary.
And that is two. So we've got one more to go. David.
Oh, back with me. I love this one. This is a personal highlight here, though much as I love Gary, obviously. 34 goals, 39 assists last year. Good for 73 points. He's a returning Belfast giant. He never went away, you know. 8 power play goals, 2 shorthanded goals, 6'2", eyes of blue. He's... I don't know.
What color are your eyes, Mark?
They're blue. They're blue.
Damn it. When you're good.
Took a knock at it. Why not? Welcome back, Coops. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Yeah, really good. We really do. Back for another season with the Belfast Giants. Was it a difficult decision?
Not really. I had such an unbelievable experience this past year, and then with what the city and the crowd welcome me on a daily and nightly basis, and welcoming my girlfriend as well, and both our families who came to visit. It was just quite an easy decision after I took some time to reflect, and then the stars aligned, and I'm glad to be back.
Coops, it was fortunate, stroke unfortunate, was outside the locker room after the playoff final, and everybody was obviously down in the dumps, and probably none more so than me, but because I take things like that bad, don't know how you guys even deal with it. But we very briefly touched on, make sure you're back in September. Don't be old and cynical. Don't get to be old and cynical like me, and look back with regrets. You know, this is your just turned 30, just had a great season. We won everything bar one game to win it all, and the Northern Ireland connections, obviously, we found out about your family last year. There's so much more to be done in Belfast for you.
Yeah, I feel like that this past season was incredible. Great first season in Belfast, but that game definitely left a sour taste in I think a lot of guys' mouths. The way we prepared and were every day last year, and the results we had, I thought we deserved more, I guess, in that last game. But no, it's definitely some unfinished business, I guess, against the Cardiff Devils and the whole league. So really excited to be back and go for the treble.
I'm happy to see you, Coop. Welcome back, mate. What's going on with your summer? I take it you're back in Toronto right now.
Yeah, back in Toronto. My girlfriend and I took the month of May to travel.
Oh, nice. Europe. Where'd you go?
France, Italy, Croatia, and Greece. So kind of a
beautiful,
a
incredible
week in each. Yeah. Did that, and then I've been back for 3 weeks now, and just started training and finishing up my schooling and stuff like that, and just enjoying time with family and the good weather.
Paddy?
Oh, sorry. I thought there might have been a follow up there.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here enjoying the moment, man. I'm good.
Davey's brought up the fact you've got the family connections. You're delving in the family connections. How much of a factor is that in decision making?
It definitely is. When both of both sides of the family, I guess, came over, the team was so welcoming and stuff. And then obviously Davey did some digging into the family tree and found out a lot of stuff I didn't know, which was really cool.
Davey does that.
Pardon? Yeah.
Davey does that. Finds out a lot of stuff he didn't know.
Yeah, he does.
I've got a whole family tree now from my dad's side, which is really cool. And to have those ties to Northern Ireland and Belfast, it's incredible. And feels like a second home, I guess.
If anybody has any questions for Coops on who are watching in live, send them through and we will put them to him. Davey?
Yeah, I'm just going to stick on the family tree stuff. I was really fortunate. I had a FaceTime with your dad in the back of a taxi, actually, in Nottingham. Your dad was on with Laura and me and Simon. Simon didn't like to walk anywhere, so we taxied everywhere. So got a lovely chat to your dad. And he's definitely next year, if Mark's going to be back, we'll do a wee bit more digging and, you know, and find a bit more of the story out, because it was really interesting for me to get involved in that. It was something that, you know, to have a guy that your family, you know, left Northern Ireland, whatever, early 1900s and made a life for themselves in Toronto, and then for it to go full circle for you to end up coming here to make your living was a really nice story. But like back on the rink, one of your famous things from last season was sticking that backside into the blue paint there. That was something that you developed over the early part of the season and really paid dividends then, sort of coming up to the Christmas time of year.
Yeah, for sure. I think I have found, like, throughout my career that if you get to the net, good things will happen. So kind of developed that skill, like, throughout my career, focus on tipping pucks and screening goalies. And it's something you can control every night, is going to the net. Like, sometimes you can't control the balance, but you can control that, just getting in front of the goalie's eyes and stuff. It's a lot more controllable. So I think the coaches and teammates, when they know what they can expect from you and where you're going on the ice, I think it makes it easier for both of them to play with. So I think that's kind of a role I formed into last year, but it's kind of been developing throughout my whole career.
And obviously Joel, just follow that up with, obviously coming in towards the end of August, early September, we'll be having a run at the CHL. Was that a little bit of a factor as well for you coming back?
Fancy
shot at that.
When we stopped, I was following the draft of that kind of prior to me signing, and seeing Davos and some other elite teams in Europe, it'll be cool to face off against them and show them what Belfast and the EIHL has to offer. I think unfortunately our league doesn't get the rep it should. The hockey's a lot better than most people give it credit to, but everyone I've talked to that's played in the league saying that the hockey's a lot better than anyone gives it credit for. So hopefully we can show that in the Champions League and make some noise in there, and hopefully get Belfast more on the map and the EIHL.
Coop, you obviously were someone I think that the team looked to for secondary scoring, you know, beyond the first line. We've obviously seen JJ Pickenich move on to pastures new. And with the numbers you put up last season, you must be setting your stall out for a spot in that top line.
Yeah, for sure. Always want more. Always striving to get better and stuff. But that line last year was just incredible, and we relied on them for offense. But I think Slater and Laker and myself were able to provide that secondary scoring. So I think we all found a pretty good fit. Kiefer didn't have to make much line changes after, other than injuries and stuff. So I think wherever I fit in the lineup, I'll try and contribute, but definitely striving to be on that first line and produce more than last year.
And just finally, with the season in the books, sort of across the water now and in the IHL, your career after college was very much based around the coast and a couple of spells in the AHL. Was it an easy decision to make that jump? Were you tempted to go back into North American hockey, having sort of spent the majority of your career there, or having spent that year in Belfast on the other side of the Atlantic? Was it easy to want to kind of bounce again? Because obviously people don't sort of fully appreciate that these guys leave their families behind, their friends behind. And I know that's part of the lifestyle of being a hockey player, but you very easily could have taken that job closer to home and not made the move back across. Was it a no-brainer for you, or does it take a bit of soul searching?
I think just coming to Belfast and being my first experience overseas, like the language barrier wasn't an issue, which was huge. I got used to the fast talking and the terminology quite quickly. But my girlfriend being there pretty much all year, she came, two or three weeks after me, was extremely helpful. And then fortunate to have family visit. But I wasn't tempted to come back to North America. I had it's the best experience I've had in pro. The first championship I've won, I've been close, but just overall, like the best professional year of my career, with experiences and just with what Belfast had to offer. So it wasn't really coming back to, it was kind of a whether I wanted to play again or not versus, I knew if I did play, it would be Belfast.
Love to see it.
Yeah,
one of the questions that's come in is from Zach Evans, is a favorite goal of the season. And what I would say, is that you scored quite a few key goals as the season went on, some really real highlight, real goals, and goals that when we needed them, you popped up and you put it in the back of the net. I'm gonna call this as the goal against Nottingham. What are you calling it?
0.4.
That goal's incredible. Those points ended up being huge in our chase. Mm-hmm. At the time, we were behind Sheffield and trying to separate from Cardiff. So that goal was definitely exciting. I don't celebrate that much when I score, but there's a few that that stand out to me as that one. I definitely touched some ice, a goal against Sheffield. I sallied, but I think my favorite goal wasn't the one I scored. It was a kind of play that I was involved with, was the Lakers Challenge Cup overtime goal. That was just incredible. And overtime, being at home and the crowd going wild and throwing the gloves off and stuff and being a part of that was extremely special. So I'm going to go with that one, but definitely a lot of memorable goals this year.
You didn't celebrate that goal. Scott Conway celebrated it for you by screaming at the Nottingham defense.
Yeah. Yeah, Conway was always good for a little chirp after he scored or someone else scored. He's extremely competitive and he's clever with his chirps. I had some good laughs on the bench.
Got just listening it. To him.
Dave, I'm going to go back to you. We've got a couple of minutes left. And while you're asking a question, I'm going to switch the light on. That's how we're working.
Okay. It's getting dark here too. Could you go back to that, the night of the Challenge Cup? I think maybe 16th of March, maybe something like that. Had you experienced anything just as kind of intense in the way the crowd got into the game? The way the game ended up going, it wasn't always going our way, but we kept that belief. They were playing short on day, and it was like, just keep wearing down, keep getting it in behind them, keep them turning, keep getting shots on. And then that last one where you just come down the ring, you're driving the net, and obviously Laker does the business in front. Is that emotional release when the gloves and all went up, is that something special, something you'll remember?
Yeah, for sure. I've played in big games before, but rarely one-off games. So, like, the previous season, I was playing in the East Coast League finals, and we actually ended up playing at a practice rink, so the atmosphere at home wasn't as special as some other big games I played in. But that Challenge Cup one was huge sense of relief. I definitely like couldn't nap that day, game day, which never really have an issue with that. And the night before, the nerves were definitely piling up, but I was just extremely relieved that goal went in. And then we had another with the the review of that goal, I was like, no, that can't, this can't be possible. But
that's ridiculous.
That added some more stress to it. But no, that game and that third period and overtime, we just fed off the crowd's energy and really tried to wear Cardiff down, who was short to 4D on that backhand. But I think we really fed off the crowd. And after that first goal by Sawyer, I think it was, we all felt confident and that we're going to win that game. We just had to stick to our process.
It was actually never, Laura came into the box just at the end of the second period. And she started handing out, she was, the legs of Mac and Kale and stuff. She was handing out wristbands to the girlfriends and stuff. So this is, you'll need these for afterwards when we win. No doubt. So like positivity, and we did, and we came back. You know, it's great. It was a great night to be involved in. It's something that'll it'll take a long time for that one to fade in the memory.
Yeah, no, and then especially now, like looking back, that documentary.
Yeah,
the team put out and Neil Whiteside produced was that was incredible to watch too, and that's just it's so special, like doing it in front of the fans and for our careers, and then being able to document it like that, it's super super special, and excited to try and get some more trophies back in Belfast this year,
buddy.
Well, and on that fantastic note, Coop, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome back. It's only it's not that long until we start to get together again and start looking to that the Champions Hockey League.
Yeah.
Which is coming really, really quick on the horizon. But welcome back to the Belfast Giants roster, and we look forward to chatting to you when the season kicks off in earnest.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Glad to be back, and can't wait to get things rolling again.
See you soon, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Bye.
Cheers,
guys. And there you have it. Andrew Dixon, Mark Garside, and Mark Cooper are the three names to go onto the Belfast Giants roster for the 2022-2023 season. Now, we're going to wrap up this show with two guests coming in at once. And we're going to bring in both the captain and the coach. Please welcome back to Views on the Bridge, David Goodwin and Adam Keefe. How are you, gents?
Gentlemen.
Not bad, you guys.
Good, you've got you're muted, but I'll unmute you here. Hold on, I got you. There we go. Oh, there we go. You're fighting me.
Come on, buddy.
You're fighting me.
There you go. Hey, clutch.
I think you won that one in the end. Yeah,
you muted me.
I wouldn't dare mute you, mate. I wouldn't dare mute me. So, I'll start with you, Coach. Those three names that we've just seen in Andrew Dixon, Mark Garside and Mark Cooper, easy guys to bring back.
Yeah, very easy guys. Key parts of the leadership group and big parts of that team last year. I think everybody in the dressing room would say the same. So it was a very easy decision to bring those guys back. And obviously, we're thankful that they wanted to come back.
And Goody, from your point of view as the captain, you know, these guys are the ones going to battle with you on the ice. You know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, all three guys, great teammates, great in the locker room, you know, always putting the team first. I would probably emphasize Dicko, like he has a really unsung, you know, commitment to the Giants, kind of always has. And a lot of the fans don't see the commitment that he has, you know, a lot of it's in practice and stuff. So really pumped about all three of them. And, you know, I think it's a good day for the Giants.
Goody, it's going to be third year back for you. In fact, your next game for the Belfast Giants will be your 100th all told, and easy enough decision this time around to come back?
Yeah, I would say similar to Coop. Like, I knew if I was going to play hockey again, it was going to be in Belfast. You know, like Gary and Coop both said, at the end of the season, we took some time to kind of reevaluate, let the dust settle from the previous season. And once I did that, combined with going back to Newry for Longer's wedding, it was pretty clear that my heart was still in Belfast, and that's where I wanted to be.
Coach, we talked earlier on in the show about the NCAA, the Friendship Four coming up, and how we've used that at times. We've been able to bring guys in out of college versus we also have guys come in here at the tail end of their career. How heartening is it for you to hear these guys say, if I'm going to go another year, it's going to be Belfast?
Yeah, I think it's been a long time coming since we've started to get that type. I mean, just even in recruitment, you know, every single agent I speak to, you know, speaks to how well the reputation is here in Belfast, you know, and I'm sure that obviously when you're talking to players, a lot of times it does come down to money, but you know, the reputation does go a long way as well. And, you know, I think that when players are considering this league, you know, they're certainly asking about the Belfast Giants, and they like that what's going on here. And I think that, you know, that's a credit to the players. One, the success that we've had on the ice, but two, you know, everybody's kind of bought into that ethos of, you know, in the land of the Giants, everyone's equal, and just going out and touching the community and being part of it, right? Not just kind of coming here as a one-stop shop and then jetting away after. I think everybody kind of comes here and ingrains themselves in the community here, and that really makes it feel like home. And you can hear that from listening to Goody speak. You can hear that from listening to Coop speak there. I won't even say about Dicko and Gary because they're just part of the furniture now. But you know, to have a guy like Goody and Coops, who have really, I mean, Coops's first year last year, Goody's second year last year, I guess not even a full second year, right? Because Goody, I think you came in halfway through the pre-pandemic, and you know, just to, in that short time to kind of just, you can just tell they get what it means to be a Belfast Giant, and that's a huge part of playing here.
Goody, just on what Kiefer has said there about Belfast, and yes, bottom line, what you're taking home in your pay packet every week is very important, but how important is the social project in Belfast, having good apartments, having a good car, having a good gym to go to, you know, English speaking generally, and you know, it's a good place to play your hockey.
Yeah, of course, like those other tangibles are very important. Like, I've always said that we get treated very professionally with the Giants, whether it's the apartment, the car, the medical, you know, assistance we get from massage and physio, all that, very important. From a social perspective, yeah, like, I think this year really opened my eyes to just how impactful the Giants are in the community of Belfast. Just some of the interactions I had with the fans and some of the other people around Belfast, like, I found myself saying numerous times, like, wow, this really is a big deal to be on the Giants, to be in this community in this way. And that was a big reason why I came back to continue to build off of that momentum from last season.
I've got a friend who works in the football program out of Penn State. And whenever those photos of you guys coming off the plane circulated social media, I got this caps lock message from him going, David Goodwin's playing in Belfast now. So it definitely made waves, you know, around your hockey world and back in college and stuff. You know, with your career so far, Goody, you've been in Europe. You've obviously played for a big school at Penn State. How does last season, finally getting that full season in Belfast, you know, after a couple of attempts, how does getting that full season under the belt and winning those championships rank in terms of your career?
Yeah, well, just real quick about that that photo we took with the EasyJet plane.
Yeah.
Right when I came off the plane, I didn't really take into account this massive gust of wind that was very and as I kid you not, as I hoisted that trophy with one hand, which was probably a mistake, I felt like a very slight slip in my hand. And I just thought, oh my God, what if I dropped this down the stairs? All the news broadcast was there. And I remember telling Besko that because he was right next to me. He was like, that would have been bad. So thankfully that photo op has only good memories.
Yeah. William Cherry would have deleted those anyway. He's a good club man. Yeah. Don't worry. He'd have got rid of those. While I have the floor, Coach, it's obviously been a very busy summer. You headed, you know, straight into GB, into Worlds. And we obviously have that, you know, shortened off season, I guess, with the CHL coming in. Have you managed to get any downtime, or is there just no off season for you this year?
There hasn't been a whole lot of downtime, to be completely honest with you, just because of obviously with GB, and I think obviously you know, the Champions League will shorten it a little bit, but also we started a month later last year.
True. So
I didn't think that, you know, I actually didn't think about that until I was away with GB, that, you know, you're going to get home and it's going to be June, and then you got June, July, and then, you know, pretty much August 1st is, we may not officially start, but we started, and, you know, we're in full prep mode and full hockey season mode. So, you know, it's going to go by fairly quick, and then, you know, we're hard at work right now, building the team, and you know, that part's exciting. And then obviously when we can get some downtime and enjoy some time with family, pretty much whenever the sun comes out here, you have to stop working for you gotta stop working for a little bit.
Just finally, Paddy, if you don't mind, sorry. Yep. It's obviously, I think anyway, it flies under the radar as one of the most important announcements that we make. But I'm glad that the club put out a notice and a press release to say that your head coach, Adam Keefe, has re-signed and is staying with the Belfast Giants. I think it's something that it'd be very easy to take for granted because, you know, like Gary, like Dicko, you've been around a couple of years now, Adam, but do you still have that kind of fire in your belly for Belfast? Do you feel there's unfinished business and things that you want to achieve in this city?
I do. You know, otherwise I would start to look elsewhere. But I think, you know, I'm happy here, and I've always said, like, there's probably a reason why guys do like to go home and I don't know if it's considered retirement or just consider their just take some time off and release a little bit, because it's stressful every year. It's stressful trying to win these trophies and particularly the league. And stressful on the coaching staff, it's stressful on the fans, it's stressful on the players. And I think it's not for everybody. And sometimes guys, you know, choose to leave because of that pressure. But, you know, I think that we've talked about it as a group before, like, that pressure really is a privilege. And for me, you know, it's almost like a sickness chasing those trophies every year. And, you know, at times it can be frustrating, but it certainly is a lot of fun. And when you're fortunate to have it pay off like it did last year for the group, it really is, you know, it's indescribable, the feeling that you have in those moments. And, you know, teammates and those teams, we're never going to forget those guys. And Goody's never going to forget every single teammate from last year's team. And I think that, you know, those are lifelong memories that are worth that, you know, that stress or that chase of those trophies. And that's the type of thing that keeps me coming back every year. Not only that, obviously, you know, my family is from here. This is my hometown now, and I enjoy that chase and enjoy being part of this community.
I've just seen somebody pop up in the background here. We'll bring you in a second, lads. Dave, just on that point, Goody, you know, does winning a trophy bring thirst for more?
Yeah, absolutely. I think simply from the fact of seeing how much fun and how exhilarating it is winning the trophy, I think that in itself is going to continue to fuel us this upcoming season.
Just quickly, because I do have a question for the coach, but I have to add these lads in. Hello. Coming to us live from Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Simon Kitchen and Jason.
Hold on, we're just bringing live news to you. We've just been offered contracts. Hold on. Oh, where are we going? Is that better now? We thought we'd go live.
We're live for the Vegas Knights. The new caller for Dumb and Dumber. The new caller for the Vegas Knights. How you doing, lads? How's the sunshine?
38 degrees. Maybe we're about to melt.
Beautiful out here. It.
Come on.
Similar. It's similar back here.
Yeah, true.
You look at now, yeah, dead on. Yeah. We'd love to stay all day for you, but it's costing a fortune on this. We're only with Vodafone.
Nope. Well, we'll say bye-bye, lads. Good to see yous.
Bye-bye. See yous later. Keep her lit. See
ya. What a duo.
I knew they'd appear at some point. So good to see them enjoying themselves out in Vegas. Coach, the question I was going to ask was basically, in the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, we've heard that, you know, that JJ's gone to Norway, that the Bush is gone back to Quebec to play in LNAH, and also Cam Knight is retiring from the game. When you lose players like this, especially from a championship winning team, you know, do you chase them, or is it just a case of, we know the transient nature of this game, you just have to let them go?
You chase them a little bit. You know, it's always, you never want guys to make an off the cuff decision, so you want them to think twice about it. And I think when you get told no enough times, you let it go. And you know, at some point, everybody's going to stop playing, and it's for whenever they feel it's right, whether it's an opportunity that comes up or whether they're going to keep playing like JJ and chase something else. You know, we have to wish them well and thank them for what they did here for us. And in JJ's case, obviously, we hope he goes on and has great success, and or we hope that he lands back here in Belfast one day. So, you know, for all those guys, we're just happy to have had them here. I think I learned a lesson the first time as a coach when we won the league that it's not always going to be the same. I think that, you know, if you remember the first time with I think we lost Patty Dwyer, we lost Besko, Blair O'Reilly, the list goes on, Kyle Bond. I think everybody just, you know, got opportunities. And you know, with winning comes opportunity for some players, right? I think players want winners. And so you have to be used to that. And, you know, we try and retain as much as we can and try and plug the holes elsewhere and trying to improve every year because we don't want to stay stagnant in this league. You think that everybody's going to be a little bit better next year, and we got to get a little bit better as well.
Coach, I'll put this to you and the Goody, obviously, as part of the leadership group. You say with great success comes great opportunity, and one guy who's obviously moving on to a head coaching role is Jeff Mason, and I guess he'll go with your best wishes as well. A bit of a word for Mason and what he's done for the organization and been a great friend of yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah, Mace, obviously I've played with Mace for a long time. We're great friends with him and great teammate. Did great things for this city as well. And then when he stopped playing and I started coaching and then he kind of got back into it, I wasn't sure what to expect from him. But I knew that I wanted him around the team. I knew he was going to make me better and make the team better. And he certainly did that. And he exceeded my expectations. And I think Goody will speak the same. I mean, he really cared about his role and, you know, he cared about the team. And that showed every single day that he came to the rink. And, you know, that is a big loss for this club and a big loss for me in particular. But also very happy for Jeff for the opportunity. I know he really wants to be a coach and he really wants to climb the ladder and get back home. And this is a step in the right direction for him. And I look forward to those games against him. I mean, yeah. I don't think that they're going to get any easier versus Dundee. They certainly haven't been the last handful of years. And I know for a fact that they're certainly going to be a lot more difficult now that Jeff's there, but always looking forward to the challenge.
At least he knows if he's coaching Dundee, he can more or less live in Belfast because you're there enough.
We're certainly going to see a lot of them, I think. Yeah.
Goody, a word for Mace?
Yeah, I think Mace was a really valuable asset for us last year. And then obviously, you know, for years before that as well. I was fortunate. I felt like I had a good relationship with him. He helped me individually on a lot of different things, power play in particular, you know, how to get open, playing that middle spot or playing net front as Conway and Picnic are just ripping one tees at my face. So he was helpful in that regard and just really appreciative and grateful for his support. So looking forward to battling him next year.
What's the summer going to hold for you then, Goody?
Yeah, I'm on week 3 of training, kind of started that a couple weeks ago. And
you have to say that to coaches right there.
Yeah.
If it's week 2, it's fine.
But like, me too, buddy.
Oh, I don't have to say that. Other guys like Garside, they have to say that. And then I'll start my visa process too. That's kind of a grind, going through all that application and interviews and stuff. So I'll start that next week and kind of just go from there.
And coach, what surprises do we have in store in the next couple of weeks?
I'll have to wait and see. I mean, that's up to it's up to the comms team. It's out of my hands now.
I think we've got our share of exclusives tonight, Patty. I know this is normally the portion of the show where we strong arm the coach, but I think we've got exclusives tonight.
I agree. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate your time. And obviously, you know, it's like we say, it's not that long until we start to get all together again and you guys start to prepare for the Champions Hockey League and what that has in store. So enjoy your summer and thanks for joining us.
No problem, thanks, guys. Please. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, gents.
Cheers. Cheers.
And there we have it, guys.
What a show.
Very, very enjoyable show. Good to have Dicko and Coops and Garside and Adam Keefe and David Goodwin and
Sizzen Taff
coming live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Sort of expected that, Davey.
I'm dead whenever they say that I edited their name.
I thought they edited.
Not great. No, they came on as Kitchen and Tap.
It's gonna be a tough evening for you, my man.
Oh dear.
Yeah. But that was very enjoyable. Like, you know, we started the night and we had Laker and Longer and Goody. And I think we've ended with Dego, Gary, you know, and who else do we have there? The big lad from Toronto, 6 feet three, Eyes of Blue, Mark Cooper. Absolutely delighted to have him back again. And you
Neil
know,
Coach he's Russell looking, be delighted.
Neil Coach Russell called him very early in the season, very early, going to say November time.
Yep.
Said how clutch he was going to be, how important he was going to be. And all season long, you just get, what was it he always put on the WhatsApp?
MVP.
MVP, just the and hard to argue. JJ Picknitz with over 100 points, Scott Conway with around 100 points, you know, Bush was outstanding, Goody was 80, 90 points, something like that. Besko, unbelievable goaltender for us. And then you have people like Mark Cooper's later dog at Ben Lake coming up in your second line. And, you know, deep teams win championships, and that's what they did. And they came a whisker from winning it all. But it's now the page is turning, and we go again.
Joel, a wee reflection on what we've had in the last hour or so?
Yeah, like I'm delighted. You know, the word that you use, Paddy, transient.
In the land of giants, everyone is equal, Joel. Everyone's equal.
Oh, goodness, the nature of player turnover in our league is just. It's like no other sport really that I'm involved in. You know, it's unfortunately you sort of accept it as part and parcel of a successful season that you're gonna lose a lot of guys, and we've seen it. You know, I've been lucky to see four league championships at this point. You do lose guys that you would love to keep. But to see a core like that back, you know, to see Mark Cooper back in Teal for another season, to see the captain David Goodwin back, like these are big names. Ben Lake, I'm not gonna round them all off, but I could. We are building a real stable core, and I have absolutely no doubt. Because of the things that we talked about earlier, the influence of the Friendship Four, the feelers we have within NCAA and U Sports now, and also North America, Europe, and the network that Steve Thornton and Adam Keefe have built now, I've no doubt that we're out there looking for top quality replacements to replace the guys that we've lost, sadly. Because, you know, if you spend a minute with Steve Thornton or with Robert Fitzpatrick or any of the Odyssey Trust kind of management team, you can see that it's not just about putting bums in seats and having a night out to them. Robert Fitzpatrick is a Giants fan, and he's a hockey fan, and he wants titles. That's a man that's hungry for success. So he's going to give the guys everything that they need to put a competitive side together, and I have no doubt that we'll be slogging it out come Christmas time again.
And what better way to wrap up the show than with that? Big thanks to everybody who joined us. Big thanks to everybody who's tuned in. We're close to 500 people tuning in live to watch us just talk from our bedrooms and have a wonderful view out Davey's window.
It's been beautiful to watch the sun go down tonight.
Disappointed there were no hot air balloons go by.
I was waiting for a
Yeah. You know, not but, at night. You know, they'll be past about 6 a.m.
Six in the morning. Wonderful.
There's nothing like being woken up by the noise just going.
Yeah. I went up in a hot air balloon once. It was a frightening experience.
I came down in a hot air balloon. It was more frightening. Going up was fine. Going up was fine. The bit where we crashed wasn't so much fun. But
official podcast of hot air balloons.
You've listened. This show's always not been a view from the balloons. I mean, don't worry about that, mate. So he's been that since day one. We're going to be 18 years now.
Get the stats out. I want to find out those stats. So get that spreadsheet updated.
Once I find them out of it, I'll get that spreadsheet updated. But yeah, big thanks to everybody who's tuned in. Big thanks to everybody who joined us for the show. Thanks to the Shania Doyle for sorting out some of the things in the background, and to Chantel and Niamh who've been putting out the socials tonight and making sure we were all on top of that. Exciting times ahead. Enjoy. I hope you enjoy your summer, boys.
Yeah, you too, boys. Good to see you.
And wherever you are, I hope you are enjoying your summer. And we'll catch you here next time. All of you from the Bridge. Sports Social Podcast Network.